evening. First of all, thank you to the league for putting this on. It's always good to talk. I'm not much of a speech guy, but I like the answer to the questions and the answers at the end. But I also have to thank my assistant Carla that put out the punch and cookies. So make sure everybody gets something before they leave, because I'll have to take it home, and that's not a good thing for me. But first of all, I wanted to talk first. I always try to promote my Unity Breakfast, the town's Unity Breakfast. That's going to be this Monday morning. Glenn Austin, I don't know if you're familiar with Glenn, but he was the warden at the Jacksonville Correctional Center, and now he's in Springfield working. And Tim Chipman, local gentlemen, are going to be talking. If you need tickets, or you can get tickets at the door, but that starts at 7:30 on Monday morning. And also, I have to, this year, we have a lot to celebrate, but the fifth year of the downtown celebration is going to be on May 30th. It's changed weekends this year. It's the last weekend in May. So May 30th, we'll be celebrating our downtown. And speaking of the downtown, we almost have phase three done. And the completion is a real neat project, and I'm sure there will be more to come in the future of our downtown, addressing the east side and the west side. But stay tuned for that. But staying with the downtown, we've had a lot of requests for events, and we're trying to internally coordinate. A coordinator. It's kind of on the evaluation other duties as assigned. We're kind of piecemealing that right now amongst us and some of the department heads, but we've had a lot of requests for downtown events, which that's why we did this downtown project, is to host the events. But there's a lot of work to that, and right now we just don't have the manpower, but we're making do. We also have people interested in businesses in the downtown. The businesses are filled up. We've got some new places coming from the south, up South Main. A Head West sub shop has already got their marquee up, along with another business yet to be announced. There's interest. There's been interest into the lot on the north side. The grass, it's a grass lot, which is next to the state building, or just east of Lincoln Land. Somebody's looking at that lot. The city recently purchased the, I call it the Jack Lukeman lot, the old Viles lot. We purchased that recently for, economic development opportunities. Could it be a parking lot? Potentially, because, as Bill Scott stated, Monday night's council meeting, we're going to have to really look at a downtown parking, because that's become an issue. But we felt that we needed to purchase that lot just to get it in the city's hands in case we want to be a player as far as what's being there. So that's good news. Our municipal building got quite a facelift. You notice the lobby's been renovated. Our electrical system has been completely upgraded to the tune of over $300,000. But this building has been needing some repair for years. And we've taken the architecture and the streetscape from the downtown in front of the municipal building, so that when it's all complete in the spring, I think it'll be really neat, the look of the in front of the municipal building. And we've also very proud to keep hosting the gallery hops and the showcase the local artists in town. We're proud of that. $19 million in new construction this year, which the Journal Courier stole my thunder a couple weeks ago when they did a nice article. But that's great. It's up $1 million from last year, so that's always encouraging. Job creation was up in 2014. If you recall, Mall's diesel repair, we've moved them out to the Eastgate. Our Eastgate industrial park's full now. Also, Mashoff Farms is building. If you've gone out there recently, the new truck wash, which is going to employ a few folks, 10 to 15 people. That's good. Real neat. Great people to work with, the Mashoffs. Goodwill Industry Warehouse has been announced, and they are moving out to the Capitol Way into the back warehouse with the potential of somebody looking at the front. So we're happy about that. We forget Burris Seed moved there, and we're very happy to have the Burris family located in their warehouse, which was the AGI. And definitely, my daughter's happy about this, but we got a Buffalo Wild Wings. And that's, and that's kind of the kid, I mean, it's kind of the teen, I mean, adults go there, I go there, but it's kind of a teenage hangout, and that's really good for our youth to have a good place to go. We purchased our property to our new water plant in 2014. And by moving it just up the hill from our existing water plant, we saved $2 to $4 million, which is, it was kind of understated in the paper when we purchased that property, because everybody was really fixated on we spent too much for that land. We may have overpaid, but we still saved $2 to $4 million. And the property owner didn't want to sell that property. So, I mean, we gave him the price. We shot him. We said, "What's your price?" He threw the price. We took it. Because in the potential, in the long run, potentially we're going to save money. So I'll touch on the water plant later. Our utility department spent over $6.5 million in capital improvements, which was up by $4 million from 2013. Now, a lot of that increase was due to the Lake Movistar dredging, which was a long time coming, but it was well needed. So we're up on capital improvements. And a fun fact about that, we've always said that Lake Movistar's dredging is for capacity and quality of water. Well, we've accomplished the capacity. We've added 111 million gallons of capacity to Lake Movistar. 111 million gallons of water to Lake Movistar. So that money's well worth it. We got a lot more done because gas prices, fuel prices were down. Since our longtime Parks and Lakes Director Bruce Gerard is retiring at the end of March, let's brag on him a bit. Lake Jacksonville continued to be one of the premier lakes in Illinois. We started our replant program and planted 50 new trees in our various parks. The pavilion restoration is continuing, and we see in the next couple years that'll be done. Vandalism is down in our parks, which is good. The Kiwanis Club, who I'm a proud member of, erected the new big toy, and that'll draw a few folks there. And we have a new Frisbee disc golf course at Foreman Grove. So that's really become a popular attraction. A lot of folks from Springfield drive over in various communities. So we were very happy to work with students from Illinois College and McMurray College to make that happen. So we're happy about that. I also want to recognize the Jacksonville Park Boosters. There is an organization called the Park Boosters. Ron Gray kind of spearheads that, along with Marty Acosta and members of various groups in Jacksonville. We had a tremendous outpouring of IC students helping them renovate the gazebos, and I believe there's more to come with the bandstand, the old bandstand in Nichols Park. So I want to thank the Jacksonville Park Boosters for that. Our sidewalk replacement program was again successful in pouring 180 yards of concrete, which completed 3,600 feet of new sidewalks. And not included in this is the 1,200-foot sidewalk on Sherwood Eddy Drive, which is from Lincoln to Woodland. We felt that was more of a safety sidewalk for Turner kids wanting to get to the YMCA. So we were happy to do that project. The firemen responded to 1,551 calls, 1,551 calls in 2014 for assistance, and that's up 11% from 2013. The department responded to 83 fire-related incidents, up from 57, 83 to 57, or 57 to 83. The total value of property involved in the 83 incidents was $6.9 million. $1.7 million were lost, but I'm happy to report $5.2 million were saved, which is up $3 million saved from 2013. We also, Chief Kluge retired, as you know, and our new chief is Doug Sills. We're happy to have him, along with Phil McCarty, who took over for our ESDA director, old ESDA director Bob Fitzsimmons. At this time, the police are still working on their 2014 report. Early indications is that the numbers may be down from last year. But is this really a bad thing if numbers are down and there's less arrests and incidents? As far as I'm concerned, the word is out and our message is clear that we have zero tolerance for drugs, which is what we all want. Sales tax and home rule receipts were slightly up 1.6% last year. Income tax receipts were flat, and our property tax share was up a bit at 3.4%. And again, we have a balanced budget with 5 to 6 months reserved, so that's a good thing. Let's see, I'm extremely happy to announce this. For the fifth year as mayor, there appears to be no anticipated municipal services cut in 2015. This is definitely attributed to my department heads, the city clerk, the city treasurer, and their staffs. And they keep an eye on this daily, trust me. And also for the aldermen for doing a good job on keeping a watchful eye on our finances. So we've all worked collectively together, which I'm very proud of. Things to come in 2015. Okay. Well, first of all, I developed a fiber team, and you might have read about that, which I'm excited about with the county and Bruce Giffen with Illinois Rural Electric and some folks in our area, and that's we're going down the steps to see if that's could come to fruition in Jacksonville like it has other communities. So. There's more to come on the fiber team, but I really think we need to take a look at that for our economic development of our area. Our new water treatment plant begins construction in July. Keep in mind this is a $25 to $35 million project, and that's quite an investment for our future. We hope to have the Illinois EPA sign off on our landfill in July as well. This is a long time coming. I know Helen's worked on this for years, but we really think we have a good, solid plan in place with the help of the Illinois EPA, with the help of PDC, environmental specialists out of Peoria, that we can finally sign a letter that's not done a lot in Illinois. Knock on wood, that we hope it's done here, because it's been a long time coming. And for years, we have been putting over $100,000 a year in that, and that would be a nice a little revenue stream. Future Gen training and visitor center announcements going to happen, guys. It's just a matter of time. It's held up by the Illinois Supreme Court with the Sierra Club, but I really still feel strongly, and I won't steal Brad's thunder, but in 2015, we're going to know one way or the other, but I still think it's going to happen to where we get a training and visitor center. The downtown or the town brook hydraulic study, we're going to know something about that in 2015. A lot of people are interested in the town brook, and we're going to find out if we can do something with the town brook after this study is complete. We're going to construct a new bathhouse at Lake Jacksonville. This is we held up this year because we didn't want to. Things are, I think, so bad out there as far as the existing that we may just take the whole thing down and start over. So that's in the budget, and I feel confident that the alderman will pass that budget with this in it. We're going to bring back the household and hazardous waste collection day, which hasn't been in a number of years, which is basically the day you take your things out to the fairgrounds and your old paint cans and things and hazardous waste, that we're going to bring that back to this community. So I'm happy to announce that. We don't know. Our new ESDA director, Phil McCarty, is working on that because we're working on a match of city funds with some state aid. Backing up a little bit, and I forgot to even include this in my notes, but gaming was a big hot topic in 2014. Last year, in 2014, we had, or 2013, we had $99,000 of new revenue. In 2014, we had $190,000. Now, is that sustainable? That's the question. But $190,000 is a good revenue stream for this city that's helped out on some projects. And last but not least, our fire department is celebrating their 175th anniversary this year. Announcements on that, more to come. So the guys are excited. They've got some neat events planned, and ladies, and we're looking forward to that. So in my opinion, while things were again challenging, our city has avoided the financial problems many cities are experiencing. As mayor, I'm really looking to another good year. Thank you.
Congratulations on a great year. I got to tell you, one of the significant achievements for me was the ability to drive all the way around the square to get to City Hall. That really brings back memories of my misspent youth. But I too want to add my thanks and appreciation to the League for again putting on this State of the City, County, and Village. And for the Village, 2014 was a good year. It was not nearly as much activity as we had in 2013. And in fact, we spent most of this year kind of catching our breath from the successes we had in 2013. Bartlett Grain has operated now for a little over a year in the village, and literally they have moved nearly twice as much grain out of that facility as they had originally projected. And I'm assuming that maybe the county commissioners will talk about that a little bit. So, but I think that has meant a lot of success, not just for the village, but for the county as a whole, and I think, frankly, for a number of other farmers in other counties in the area. The other big improvement that was made or construction that was done in 2013 was First Christian Church. And I am simply amazed that 43,000 square foot building starts with programming as early as 6 o'clock in the morning and seems to have activities all day and nearly every night. Their extensive program has greatly increased the amount of traffic that is on South Main Street. And I will have to tell you, they've been a great social addition, not only to the village, but to the community. With the cooperation and assistance of Prairie Power, we built a 600-foot industrial-grade road extension of Southeast Street, north of Southbrook Road. One of the reasons we constructed it was that opens up nearly 200 acres of industrial and commercial property for potential development adjacent to the Kansas City Southern Railroad. And given the amount of money they spent in this area to improve their facilities, we'd like to take advantage of that over time. After reviews by the Plans Commission and their recommendation, the Village Board in November approved the rezoning necessary for a medical marijuana facility, potential to be located on 267 south of I-72. We hope that opportunity may present itself sometime in 2015. As I understand it, now with the change in governors, we're kind of awaiting the governor's office and what their determination is going to be as to how this is going to be handled. Our code enforcement department had a number of permits this year for building improvements, including a couple of new houses and a new commercial building at Prairie Land. And frankly, we were glad to see they got that done through the course of the summer because they truly used it and needed it for the steam show. We had a number of activities in the village this year. In September, we did our annual concert in the cornfield with Montgomery Gentry and Madhoss Jackson. It was a great event, and it gave us the opportunity again to showcase the village to those people outside our area. And as I said about Prairie Land before, they had a very, very successful steam show this year, record attendance, and I think yet again another opportunity to bring people into the, not only to the village, but into the community, into the area, and kind of showcase what we have to offer. Brian Lawn also turned around in October and hosted the biennial Kelly Miller Circus. That was sponsored actually by the South Jacksonville Fire Department. And it was a very successful fundraiser for them. And I think it provided not only kids but adults as well a fun opportunity in the community. In August, our police department conducted their 21st annual McGruff golf outing. And just to tell you how much difference that makes, over the course of that 20-plus years, that outing has raised over $100,000 for child safety and education programs, which are conducted not just in South Jacksonville School, but in elementary schools all over the community and all over the area. So we're glad to give back to the community with that, which we think is a very successful program. In September, the police department participated, along with the Drug Enforcement Administration, in a prescription drug disposal program. It was a great success. We are hoping we're going to be able to continue to do it with the DEA. That has been a great service to many in our community, and in our village, and I think in the community at large. The police department also this year received a grant from Walmart Foundation, and we purchased child safety car seats, and we are distributing those to families in need, and we're continuing to do that. I think that's a great opportunity for the police department to make a difference in the community. In 2015, we're looking forward to continued growth. We are beginning to receive a number of inquiries about potential development, particularly along the South Main Corridor and at the interstate. I hope that we may yet be able to get the Shiny Diner open. We're not there yet, but I'd like to see that happen. And frankly, sooner rather than later. We are looking forward to 2015 in the future, and we are hoping to build on the success of our past developments. So with that, I want to say thank you very much.
I too would like to thank the League and Jim for inviting the county to speak at this event. I am speaking for the board. We have already introduced Ms. Fanning. Mr. Meyer now has arrived from his social schedule, and we're glad to see you here, Bill. So, okay. I would like to state for the record right off the bat that the county is the only entity of these three that doesn't host a party. So we're all business at the county, so let's get that straight right off the bat. And I will get serious because what I have to say precludes anything else, the numbers, the parties, the finances. As everyone knows, in life, there's death. And as a family member, you know what it's like to lose a close member of your family, and it's very difficult. And all else goes out the window. So the biggest thing that happened in Morgan County in 2014 was the loss of our commissioner, Mr. Rawlings. So, you know, he was a good commissioner, he was a good person, and he was a valued citizen of the community and a valued member of his family too. It's very close. So that's how I want to start, and to recognize Dick in that it is a loss to the community. With that being said, every door that closes, the door opens, and we are very fortunate to have Ms. Fanning, Jenny Fanning, come in. She was appointed, and then she ran and was elected, and I don't know if that's good or bad. I still haven't figured that out. As many times as I've been up here, I gotta weigh that sometimes, whether it's good or bad. But we've all hit the ground running together, and Jenny was able to come in before our fiscal year ends at the end of August. So she was there for 6 weeks, approximately a month, 6 weeks before. So she got in on the tail end of the budget process and was able to start the new fiscal year and really had a head start. So we're very fortunate. As I stated earlier about the election process, it seems like when we go to the polls anymore, the person going in to vote says that he's voting or she is voting for the lesser of two evils. It seems like I hear that more and more and more. Well, I didn't vote for him because of this. But our last two races for county board, or several of the last two races, we truly had good decisions to make. It wasn't the lesser of two evils. It was an opportunity to elect one of two good people. And it was this race and the prior races. So I think that's a tribute to Morgan County, that people are willing to step up and, you know, step forward. And it's a challenge. As everyone knows that's been out there, it's popularity. You get your feelings hurt. People say things. So it takes a lot of courage to do it. So that's a very positive thing for Morgan County. Now I'll move on to what we've done a little bit. I just jotted a few things down. We don't have near as big of projects as the city does. South Jacksonville's had some really big projects in the past couple years, which is all good because all these communities are part of Morgan County, and we benefit from their success. So we want to stand hand in hand with them. You know, so I'll get into just a little bit of the numbers a little bit because we don't have the big issues, so sometimes people like to, you know, hear a little bit about the actual numbers. We were able to sign 2 1-year extensions for our two different labor groups, FOP jailers, Fraternal Order of Police, and operating engineers. They were willing to work with us to sign a 1-year extension so we could bring everybody in next year. We have 4 bargaining units, and we could bring them all in together, and we could discuss health insurance and all those issues at the same time so we could all be on the same page. So we're very thankful that both of those bargaining units were willing to help us out in that regard. We will, July of 15, combine the superintendent of schools. We are now going to be with Adams County and Pike County. We're joining our 5-county district for the superintendent of schools. So that will go, the current elected official, and I apologize, I do not have her name in front of me, I should have it, will become our superintendent of the school in July. And we signed a financial arrangement with that group that gives us 4 years. We understand what it's going to cost us for 4 years to contribute to that district. In the past, it's always been weighted on EAV. That they just take the percentage of EAV of that county, and that's the percentage you put towards the budget. And in Morgan County's case, when we were just with Scott, Cass, Brown, and Morgan, we were the highest EAV, so we contributed the most. Now Adams County trumps us, so they will be the largest county in the group. But it was directed by law, and the county was more than willing to sign that agreement. We have just a small project currently going on at the courthouse. Probably I kind of use the analogy, it's like someone that has a beard and then they take it off, and then 3 weeks later you've seen them every day and you look at them and say, when did you shave that beard off? And it's been 3 weeks. That's what we're going to do. We're going to just take a couple of the doghouses off the courthouse, and other than seeing this construction, I don't think that anybody will even notice it. But it will tidy it up and create a few more parking spaces. But it's something that's needed to be done. There's the roofs need repair and the painting and the windows. So we went and asked the historical agency, Illinois Historical Society. They gave us permission to do it because it's on the register and we have to clear everything with them. So then I will jump in 2015 for projects because it ties in. Our big project will be the roof of the jail. So we're going to put the roof of the jail on. We're just getting started in that process right now, and hopefully we'll have all the bids out, you know, by early spring so they can get started in the summertime, because it's a lot better to work on the roof when it's warm than it would be trying to do it in the cold weather. So that's really the only big project we see coming in the future. We look forward to the city's new water treatment plant, and any kind of industry that would come in, we were more than welcome. Medical marijuana, big news. The mayor, Terry Dennison here, is Terry's with the Jacksonville Regional Economic Development Corporation. He happens to be here present with us. And the county board, we sat in on many interviews with several players in the medical marijuana field. It was a very, very interesting process. And the guidelines and the rules were laid out to what you had to do and how you had to do it. And it was the money that's involved and the expertise in the security and the growing process. These people had their acts together, every one of them. I mean, these were professionals from all across the United States, all across the world, and they want to get in on the ground floor of medical marijuana. They look at it as the end of prohibition. If you can get started, they truly feel that this is going to be a growth industry in the future. You know, there's going to be more medical exemption, so to speak, where you can use it and possibly then go into, of course, for casual use as it has in other states. But they want to be in on the ground floor. So the county, we have three possible, we have three submitted applications. We have the one in Eastgate Industrial Park, we have the one in South Jacksonville, and then we have the one in Southwest Morgan County. So there are three applications in Morgan County, but and then we also, the county signed an agreement with one in Logan County. So we went with a group of counties. We are in police district number nine, and there will only be one medical marijuana facility in the whole district, and it's nine counties, I think, or seven, eight, nine counties. So it's a very difficult process, and the opportunity to get it is I don't want to say slim, but we put our best foot forward. I think we have three excellent sites, and as in the county and the city in South Jacksonville, we're not in competition against each other. We want one of these sites landed in Morgan County, because I truly believe myself that this could be a growth industry also. I truly believe that. And with that, Andy mentioned Future Gen. You know, we've all heard and we've all talked about Future Gen, and it could be an economic engine for this community with the labor that's going to be in and the new construction and the possibility, you think of the future 20, 30 years, if we're going to burn coal, we need to find some way to do it clean. And this is being a test facility. We could become the center of that. I mean, there could be spinoffs. I mean, you could just keep saying and saying. Now, ever saying that, Department of Energy, it's a political issue. And with that, you just never know what's going to happen. We're still very positive, and we're still looking forward. So we really want that to happen. But do we have any new information? We don't have any information. This is a very guarded process, and we are, even though we're the community that's going to be hosting it, we're kind of on the outside looking in. So that's difficult for us as elected officials to process, because we get questions all the time, and it's hard when you can't answer them. Electric aggregation, the county has a, we went to electric aggregation. We recently signed an extension for just 6 months and see what the prices are going to do. Energy prices have come down, so the aggregation isn't saving as much money as it used to, but we felt, the city felt, South Jacksonville felt that it was a good process to go through and provide all of our residents an opportunity at a cheaper rate by buying as a group, of course. We also, we held a public hearing for our livestock facility, If you read Springfield paper or the Illinois Times, there's a huge livestock facility planned in Menard County, and they're getting a lot of public resistance from that, from the city of Petersburg and different areas. Our facility is not a corporate facility. It is a family-run facility. It is in an area of the county where there's current livestock buildings already. We had the public hearing. We did not have one negative comment in that public hearing. So we were positive with that. It's going to enable a farm family to keep another son home on the farm, and they were truly excited about that. So, I mean, it's a very small thing in the county, but when you read other areas and you see the pushback, I think that they did a fine job citing this, and it's a smaller facility. It's not a huge facility where there's going to be a bunch of buildings. So we got no negative feedback on that. For Buster Sanitation, we recently signed a host agreement. If you go out 104 to the southeast, if you see Buster's transfer station out there that was cited, they bring all their trash and refuse into that plant. They compact it into semi-trailers and take it to their Pike County landfill. All their trucks, used to be their trucks would go individually to the landfill. Now they go to the transfer station. They receive approximately 40,000 tons a year of refuse out there. So, I mean, that's just for basically Morgan County. There is other facilities. That's 2,000 semi-loads a year that go out of that facility. We were able to sign a contract with them, and we get a tipping fee, the county does, for hosting that site out there, and it's 30 cents a ton, which is about $12,000 a year. Now, it's not a large number, but we've been very pleased with that. If you've driven past there, you wouldn't even know that they're moving that much refuge out of that. They completely enclose the trailer, so there's never any loose product that could leave or scatter along the road. So we insisted on that, and they were more than willing to do that. With that, as the mayor said, we also, in that agreement, have a fall cleanup and a spring cleanup. It's the first week of May and the first week of October, and it will be announced in the paper, and they will tell you what you can bring out there and what you can't bring out there. It will be in the advertisement. There are some things that nobody will accept, so... Then we always state our favorite time of the year is January for the county board, because it's a board of review. That's when all of our constituents get an opportunity to come in and sit down with us and tell us all that we're doing wrong with assessing their property. So it's always very enlightening procedure for all of us. And we welcome it. We want people to come in, but we just want that to be public, that everybody understands that we publish on the December 29th, and you have 30 days to come in to protest your assessment. That is the value of your house. Now, the assessment is one-third of the fair market value. And we are very glad that there's $19 million in new growth, because that's new revenue without any new taxes, because we get new growth. Now, having stated that, all these warehouses and different entities that we are pleased to have filled, the occupants now of these facilities are buying them at a very discounted rate. So when they do, which is a good deal, we want to get them filled, we want to get people in here working, but every time an assessed value goes down over $100,000, so that would be $300,000, anytime a building comes in and we have to lower that by more than $300,000, we have to send a letter out to all the taxing bodies stating that we did that. Last year, we had 8. That was the biggest year that we've had. 8 properties that lost more than $300,000 in value. This year, we're going to have. It's very good that Capitol Records sold. We have it on for approximately $3.3 million. It sold for $1 million. So they will come in, and that will be $2.3 million off the tax rolls. So we've got people out there, but we have to understand that that's also a hit. But it's just something for you to think about. And just one other thing, because it's an issue, and I wanted to thank Carol Cheesebro. We talked about it. She's the payroll clerk at the county and does all of our retirement and payroll. And so retirements, it's always the state's broke. Retirements are killing government. What are we going to do about it? So just a couple quick points from the county's perspective. Our payroll annually is about $6 million a year. We pay $1 million towards IMRF. We do, and the employees, and the dividends that the funds make. Not the state. Our IMRF, Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund, has nothing to do with the state. It's funded. It's really was a two numbers that just jumped out at me that I wrote down just briefly was members pay 13%, meaning the employers, or employees. Employers pay 27%. That's you guys, the taxpayers. And the investments pay 60%. So the investments are what's carrying the load right now. Of course, the stock market's been good. But that's kind of a number that really jumped out at me. There's 400,000 members in our IMRF fund, and it's been established since 1941. So, I mean, those numbers are just kind of where we're at. And that's all I have. I appreciate the time and opportunity to speak to everyone.
Well, you might as well stay there, and we'll invite the other two gentlemen up.
Oh, and I did. I apologize, Jim. I didn't. I told Jim I was going to say this, and the mayor kind of alluded to it earlier. Every time we have this, Illinois plays. So I have a definite conflict.
So that's how you ask all the questions down.
That's right. So we keep the questions down.
Just raise your hands, and these gentlemen will recognize you. And there we go.
GDC, anything going on that?
Good question. Honestly, right now, no. With the new administration change, we've kind of had to backtrack till everybody's in place, and we'll go full steam ahead and try to talk to the new administration on some of the thoughts we have for maybe some tax incentives or some redevelopment funding to knock down some of the buildings that were scheduled to be knocked down. So
the city has some ideas of what they would like.
Yes.
To do.
We do, with the help of our lobbyist Jeff Tricelli. We do have some ideas what we'd like to see. Yep.
I'd like to know, does the city own the property on North Main here, like kind of across from Charlie's, you know, cones and coffee, where that car wash used to be?
Yes.
The city owns that?
We now own that.
Do you have
plans? No, we don't have a plan yet for that. But we were also trying to acquire the across the street where the old Martins.
Yeah,
we're trying to get a hold of that so we can kind of put that in our cityscape and make it look a lot more attractive.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a question for Brad. I mean, which is such a... No, I mean, you touched on the regional superintendent of schools. Will Jeff Stevens remain in a position, or with a lady from Quincy?
He will be an assistant.
Okay.
But he won't be an elected position anymore.
Okay, but he will...
We will keep our office.
Okay, good.
In Jacksonville.
Good. That was easy.
Yep.
No other questions? Bill, you got anything for us?
No, sir.
Okay.
Can't beat that.
Wow.
Well, thank you all.
Thank you.